That's just what we're going to do. We're starting 2024 with a mini-series on making this life count for eternity. And that requires you to manage your life in such a way that it counts. We say that Jesus makes a difference. Show that Jesus makes a difference. We want to show that Jesus is indispensable to our community and I'm and beyond, to the people with whom we come in contact and through ministries like Natalie's ministry, even to Taiwan. So we're excited about what God has for us, but we want to make this life count for eternity to show that Jesus makes a difference. Now, many people have noble ideas about making a difference, right? Many pour their time and efforts into noble causes, finding a cure for cancer or pro-life endeavors, or some advocate for, you name it, you know, animal rights, save the planet, climate change, maybe providing for the poor. People have some kinds of ideas. Maybe you have an idea of what can make a difference in this life. But the emphasis this morning is making a difference in this life that's going to count for eternity. And God gives some specific instructions, direction on making a difference in this life so that this life, your life, counts for eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." We see in this verse as charging us to be a good and godly steward. Now, in our culture, we don't use the word steward very often. We used to use it for stewards and stewardesses. In fact, Teresa and I watched an old movie just last night, and there were some flight attendants, and they called them stewardesses. And we used to use that, and now we don't use that term so much for flight attendants. But maybe on a cruise ship, there are stewards, or maybe a union steward. But beyond that, we just don't hear the word very often, do we? And yet, we come to church and we hear the word stewardship. So what are we talking about? Well, a steward is mentioned here in this passage is one who has been given a trust. Or maybe better, someone who has been trusted or entrusted with something. Some of you brought your precious cargo in this morning, your baby, and you took them back to our GLOW, God's Little Ones, our nursery area, and you entrusted our servants back there with your precious child. They are now stewards of that child. They're caring for that child as you have entrusted that child to them. And the question is, are they going to be a good steward? And we believe that they will be, right? And if you didn't think they would be, you wouldn't put your child back there. But you entrust someone, hey, would you watch my purse, right? Ladies, would you watch my purse for a while? And, you know, your husband stands there like this, you know, holding on to your purse. And like, okay, you know, he's gonna take care of it. There are valuables there, things that you don't want to lose. That person has a steward of that which you've entrusted to them. Now, given our earlier illustration of a flight attendant or an attendant on a cruise ship, we tend to think that the steward really doesn't have much authority or responsibility. But when you start to look at the matter of being trusted to take care of something of value, whatever it may be, it takes on a whole new light. And that's the light that God wants you to look at this matter of stewardship this morning. Now, in Bible times, because of limited travel, a householder, or sometimes they called them masters, men who owned large farms or livestock, they would be gone from their land for long periods of time, just because if they were going to a certain area, it would take them a while to get there, conduct their business, and take a while to get back. And so what this individual would do is he would entrust a servant as a householder to care for the affairs of the estate while he was gone. That individual is a steward. The Greek word for steward literally means a housing one, one who has been entrusted with the master's estate or household and was to consistently manage that in the master's absence. A good example of that today would be a business owner. And sometimes business owners, and I know a few who, if they have a business, they may hire a manager. But oftentimes, these guys own multiple businesses. And so they'll have managers that take care of a particular business on their behalf. And they may show up once a week or maybe once a month, say, hey, and they check things out, make sure things are going okay, and then they go on to the next business or they conduct their affairs however they see fit. But they have entrusted the business to this manager. Now, a good manager is going to show up early, make sure things are unlocked and things are open and ready to go for the rest of the employees to show up and do the job. And he will make sure things are running smoothly, make sure everything's ordered and everything's taken care of. And if there's a problem with the customer, then oftentimes the manager will handle that. And then if the manager has to leave or maybe after hours, he's put his time in and goes home and the rest of the employees know how to get a hold of him in case something comes up. Right? They're managers. They're stewards of that which the owner or master has entrusted to their care. Here's your take-home thought this morning. God has given you responsibility with accountability. That's a steward. God has given you responsibility with accountability. The fact of the matter is, you are a steward. You are a steward. It's not your choice. The question is whether you're a good one or a poor one. The challenge today is for you to grow, and in the weeks to come, to grow in your stewardship, caring for that which God has entrusted to you. And the way you handle that will reflect in eternity. Now, I'm not saying, and the scripture's not saying, that there's more to your salvation than grace. All right? We're not saying that you got to do all of this in order to achieve the grace of God. It's only by God's grace that we, first of all, have our salvation. That's the beginning of this whole matter of stewardship. In order to manage that which God has entrusted to you, the way he wants you to, the way he has instructed us, as we're going to see here, is to come to him in his great salvation through Jesus Christ. To understand that he came, the Lord Jesus, God sent his son. He gave his son. The choir sang about that. And if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the beginning of, he has entrusted you with life and eternity. And we're going to look at how you make a difference then by the grace of God with his strength and his enablement to make a difference for eternity. So I want to encourage you with some principles this morning of making your life count for eternity. So we want to look at first principle here, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Familiar passage. Many of these will be familiar, but I want you to look at these passages in light of stewardship, in light of that which has been entrusted to your care. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Here's the first principle, and that is God owns everything, you own nothing. God owns everything, you own nothing. Again, think of the manager of a business. The manager has the keys to the business. He hires, he fires, he orders merchandise, generally conducts the business as he believes is best. He is responsible for the whole ball of wax, right? And the owner is dependent upon the success of that business through the manager. But the manager doesn't own any of it, right? He just manages what has been entrusted to him. Well, how does this apply to us? Well, a couple thoughts. All things are from God. We tend to think that, okay, I give a certain amount to God. I give a certain amount of my time, a certain amount of my talents, a certain amount of my treasures. I give this little portion to God, and the rest is mine, right? Okay, no. We have to get that out of our minds. And that is, no, God owns it all. God owns everything. We own nothing. But all things are from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Great is his faithfulness, his mercies, as we sang and as we prayed, the very breath, air that we breathe is from God. Thank you, Lord. Everything is from God. From the air we breathe, to the clothes we wear, the house you live in, the money you possess, your gifts and abilities, it's all from God. And we must realize it's not ours. You must realize it's not yours. It's God's. And he has, whatever that is, he has entrusted that to you to take good care of it. That house, that car, that boat, that toy, that precious toy you got for Christmas, that motorcycle, that lawnmower, that sewing machine, that stove, that new oven, that mixer, your job, your education. It is all from God. It's God's. And he's entrusted that to you. All things are from God. Another thought is he is unchangeable. He is the Father of lights. Look at the verse. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He won't let you down. He will not pull a fast one on you. He won't pull the carpet out from under you, as we say. He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Well, we just sang Lamentations chapter 3. By the way, I just read this in Reader's Digest yesterday. The lady got up and she said, I'm going to sing the 22nd Psalm. And so she sang just a beautiful rendition of this song. And at the end, a little 7-year-old boy looked up and said, I don't understand. That song was a lot longer than 20 seconds. Anyway, we just sang Lamentations chapter 3. Great is your faithfulness, right? His mercies are new every morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no trial, no temptation has come upon you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, right? God is faithful. He's unchangeable. We can trust him. And because he is faithful and we can trust him, then we too can be faithful with what he has entrusted to us. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 45, says, speaking of common grace, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rains on the just and on the unjust. He's faithful. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Again, he has provided the matter of salvation. He is faithful to provide that for you and to give you opportunity to respond. And he wants all. That's one reason why we support missions, right? That's one reason why we support Natalie. We want people in Taiwan to know of his great salvation. Thank you, Natalie, for your faithfulness to carry the gospel with you as you teach English as a second language and minister in the lives of people there. That's a means by which the gospel can be presented. Whatever has been entrusted to you, think about it as a possible means of communicating the gospel to those around you, to make life count for eternity and His great salvation. God owns everything. You own nothing. Here's another principle, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we look at verse 11. Matthew 7, 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Second principle here is God entrusts you with everything that you have. God owns everything. We own nothing. But He has entrusted everything that you have to you. He's entrusted it to you. That house, the car, the boat, the toy, the money that's in your possession has been entrusted by God to you. A couple thoughts. First of all, God gives good things. Amen? You know, think about it. I'm just so thankful for, and we all ought to be thankful for that which God has provided for us. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15. Again, we're seeing this playing out in the scriptures. It will be like a man going on a journey. Here's the master, the owner, going on a journey, who called his servants, the householders, the managers, and entrusted to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The man going on the journey entrusted his servants with his property. He gave them talents, and in this case it was financial talents. A talent was worth about $1,000. Or more from what I understand and have read. He entrusted them with some aspect or measure of his estate. And he gave it to them to manage. And so it is with God. God has given you everything that you have. You name it, He gave it. And I think it's better to say that He gave it to you, but He has entrusted it to you. Because when we think someone gave me something, oh, it's mine, you know. Now I can do with it what I want. And so I'll do what I want with that, and I'm not accountable for that. No, God has entrusted it to you. Think of it in those terms. Whatever you possess, God has entrusted it to you to manage it. Again, your strength, your abilities, your health, your wealth, all has been entrusted to you to manage, to take good care of. When we have had what we've called in the past stewardship months, we've talked about all aspects of life. We've talked about health. We've talked about ministry, as well as finances. All aspects of life, all that we have has been entrusted to us. I don't know if they still do this. Maybe you can help me out. But in high school, they used to give you a baby. They'd have like a health class or marriage family class or something like that. And they would give you a baby. They had some kind of way of keeping track of how well you took care of that baby for 24 hours. Do they still do that? No? I'm sorry. A doll. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a doll. It was they didn't have some baby over here. Take care of this baby. It was a doll. Right. Do they still do that? I don't know. Anyway, they used to. Somehow they took... Here, take my kid for 24 hours. We'll see how good you do. I'll give you a grade on whether. Anyway, no, it was a doll, right? Yeah, a baby doll, and but it would keep. I don't know how it kept track of, you know, if it took care of the diapers and it. But if you went out to a movie or something, you had to make sure that the baby was in good care with somebody else, and you got a grade on that. That was supposed to be a good illustration of how God entrusts you with what He's given to you. And the idea there is whatever you God has entrusted to you, we want to, because of our love for Him and gratefulness for Him, we want to make it count for eternity. That's the point. That's the point. And whatever He's entrusted to you, it will have an impact on you. And when you look at this, the measure of impact is how much you value that. If someone gives you a little matchbox car for Christmas, you know, you know, you're just down on the floor and everything like that. It might be one thing, and it might get lost in the toy box sooner or later, right? But if someone hands over the keys to a Mercedes and says, "It's yours." If you value that, it's like, whoa. You know, how different is that than a little matchbox? And the level of value that you put on something determines how well you, tends to determine how well you take care of that. One of the ways in which we look at life with value is to realize, you know what? Whatever it is, God has entrusted that to me. And I'm going to care for that in a way that brings glory to God. Well, here's another principle of making your life count. We'll continue to build on Matthew 25. Hope you're still there. Again, reviewing verse 14, it will be like the man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. By the way, God knows your ability. You say, "Oh man, I wish I had something bigger or something better." God knows your ability. Take good care of what He has entrusted to you, and in time that may increase. But then he went away. Verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Here's the next principle, and that is, you are responsible to increase what God has entrusted to you. You look at it as being of value, and you say, you know what? I am going to take care of this. I'm going to care for this well. And you either increase what God has entrusted to you, or you diminish it. Now, we look at that, and again, it takes on a whole new light as to how you take care of or care for what God has entrusted to you. Fill in that blank. Maybe something recently that you received at Christmas, or maybe a raise, maybe a job, maybe whatever it is that God has entrusted to you. All right, how are you Do you have good plans on how to increase that? Now, the question then is, why didn't the one talent person increase his talent? Well, look at verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents, for to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why didn't talent individual increase his talent? It's kind of like, what were you thinking? Why didn't he? Well, the master says he was wicked. He was fearful. He admitted, "I was fearful." And the master said, "You're wicked and you're lazy." Whew. So the question here is, okay, and I hope the encouragement to you is, I don't want to be that one talent person. I want to, even if God entrusts me with one talent, I want to increase that. How do we increase whatever God has entrusted to our care? Well, let me start with first the other side of that. How do you diminish it? How did he diminish it? Neglect. He diminished it through neglect. If something is entrusted to you and you just forget about it, you don't want to do anything with it, you don't want to be bothered with it, how does it diminish? Through neglect. If you neglect your responsibility, remember we have responsibility with accountability. You're going to be called into account. Fulfill your responsibility. If you neglect your responsibility, it diminishes what has been entrusted to you. Now, the question is, how do you increase that? All right? How do you increase that? Well, give attention, to what has been entrusted to you. How do you increase it? Give attention to it. It's been entrusted to me. I'm not going to neglect it. I'm not going to bury it. I'm not going to forget about it. I am going to give attention to this. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to work with it. Again, think about that. And a lot of times we think of material things, whether it's our finances or our property, our houses, our cars, toys, whatever that we think of material. But think about this also when it comes to the responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. How about your witness? In Acts 1:8, God says, "You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Are you going to be a good witness or are you going to be a poor witness? Are you giving attention to your responsibility to keep your eyes open for the opportunities that you have to show Christ and to share Christ as indispensable to the people around you? And as you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then as a church, we become indispensable. We show that Jesus is indispensable, right? It's all of us doing our part. But we don't neglect that. How about your witness? Maybe taking a step back from that. Your relationship with God. You want to grow in your relationship with God? We asked this last week. Are you spending time with God? Do you value your relationship with God? if you want to grow in your relationship with God, you're going to give attention to that. You're not going to neglect that. Neglect it diminishes. To give attention to it increases that. See? And so you're going to spend time with God in His Word and prayer and worship. You're not going to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, right? You're going to make your time together with God's people a priority, right? You're going to give attention to it. See? You think about your talents, your abilities. Speaking of talents in the sense of those who have musical talent or teaching a talent. Whatever your talent may be, the ability that God has entrusted to you, are you giving attention to that? Thank you, praise team, for your rehearsals. Some of you may not know, they come here every Tuesday night and they rehearse. They go through and make sure they work out, try to work out the bugs, right? And so they rehearse and they go through that. And then they come here early on Sunday mornings, right? They're here at 8:15 on Sunday morning to go through the song sets and so as to provide a meaningful worship opportunity for all of us. They're giving attention to their abilities. That's how you increase your ability. And everyone has a gift that is to be used for the body. And it's so refreshing when we see individuals give of themselves to do that. So give attention to that which has been entrusted to you. How about a relationship? Spouses, husbands, wives, giving attention to your relationship together. It takes time. It takes effort. You don't put your relationship on autopilot. You give attention to that. You take time out from the kids for mommy and daddy time. Go out on a date. Ask the grandparents. They're generally able and willing sometime or another to take the kids, right? Make sure you do that. As grandparents, we have those grandbabies entrusted to our care. Make the best of that opportunity, right? But the relationships, give attention to relationships. Your parent, you know, you're always a parent, but you only have your children at home for a period of time. Right? Take advantage of that. Give attention to your relationship with your children. It's stewardship is what we have here. Friendships, neighbors, take time with them. Do things with them, for them. 1 Peter 4 says, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The point is, you're responsible to increase it. How do you do that? Give attention to it. Here's another principle. Changing passages here. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Looking at verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. Jesus is speaking. He told them a parable, verse 16, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Finally, this morning, we just want to point out the principle that God can call you into account at any time. God owns everything. We own nothing. You are to increase what God has entrusted to you. You are responsible. Excuse me, get my thoughts here. God has entrusted to you everything you have, and you are to increase everything that He's entrusted to you, and He can call you into account at any time. Now, the question is, why wasn't this man a better steward of the opportunities that God gave him? In other words, from the world's point of view, we could look at him and say, wow, man, look at this guy. He has so much. He has to build bigger barns. In the world's eyes, we might think he was really successful, right? Was he? Why wasn't this man considered a better steward of the opportunities that God gave to him? Well, look at verse 21. It's because he stored up for himself. It was all about him. He stored up for himself. That tends to lead to complacency. I have plenty and for many years, and I can relax, and I can eat, and I can drink, and I can be merry. By the way, I'm heading there fast. What's your view of retirement? Right? I've stored up all of these funds, and I got everything, all my ducks in a row, and everything's in order so that I can relax. I just encourage you to think again about that and how that plays out. I'm not saying that we shouldn't retire. I'm not saying that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But it's your view of that, right? So what is the solution? It's not complacency. It's not a self-focus. The solution, verse 21, be rich toward God. That's your motivation. Be rich toward God. As we look at making this life count for eternity, and we look for even into retirement, as this guy was, I'm going to save up all of this so that I can eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow I might die, whatever. It's I'm looking toward eternity. I want to make this life count. We talked about this a bit last week. Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all this other stuff in this world will be added to you, entrusted to you. Colossians 1:10 touched on this last week. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you hang around FBC long enough, you hear me reference this passage often, and that's 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we are at home or away, whether we're home in the body or away from it, whether we're dead alive, we make it our aim, our goal to please God. Right? That's our goal, to bring glory to God. We might say, okay, why? Well, verse 10, because we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in this body, whether good or evil. That puts this life in the perspective of eternity, because living this life is not all there is. We have such an advantage over the philosophy and thinking of the world that, you know, oh man, we gotta care for all of this in our own time and in our own way because it's all ours. No, you know, this is God's. This is God. God owns everything. I own nothing. And everything that I have has been entrusted to me by God. And I'm responsible to increase what he's entrusted to me. Because someday I'm going to stand before God and give an account. And I don't know about you. But when I stand before God one day and I trust that this is your desire, I want to hear, and I hope you want to hear, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. So, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves can't break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wow. Man, you talk about putting life into perspective. I encourage you to take these principles and think them through this week and think them through in light of, make a list. Just whatever you can think that God has entrusted to you, think of the big ones, okay? Think of the big ones right now. But as you get in the habit of thinking that, you can start thinking of even the smaller things. But think of the big ones. What has God entrusted to you? owns it. He's entrusted to me. I'm responsible to increase that. How can I, God, help me to learn how to increase this to your honor and glory by your grace and your mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God, help me, because when I stand before you one day, I want to hear, well done. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I can only do that by your grace, by your strength, by your enablement. And I'll tell you, if you do that, if I do that, if we do that, even as a church and a ministry, we're gonna have a life of purpose. We're gonna have a ministry of purpose, a ministry that truly shows Jesus is indispensable to the glory of God. And as we prepare our hearts for our communion service here, think of that. And go back to your relationship with God. This is communion. I'm communing with God. Don't neglect it. Don't let your mind go off into the football game this afternoon or whatever else you have going on this afternoon, right? How do you keep from doing that? Give attention to it, right? So you're going to focus on what Jesus did for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. His broken body, his shed blood. He did that for me. That's why I often, and even if I forget, I often have you focus on a passage of Scripture. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. You think of the gospel references to his death, his burial, his resurrection. While the elements are being passed, you can think through, God, I'm thank you, and give attention to your relationship with God in that moment, so that this is not a mere ritual. We just go through the form and function of it, but that it's meaningful because you're giving attention to your relationship with God. Let's go before him just now. Heavenly Father, you are so faithful. And I thank you that you have entrusted to us your word, that as we give attention to that, we learn things like we've learned here this morning. And I pray that we would take these matters to heart. And even now, as we think of our relationship with you in this time of communion together, that it just wouldn't just be going through the motions, but that we would rejoice in all that we have through Jesus Christ, because he died in our place. We deserve that death and eternal judgment because of our sin, and yet by your love and your grace and your mercy, you sent your one and only Son to take our place. And we thank you for that. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would turn to you, even at this time. Focus on you and our relationship with you. Encourage our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen.